Good morning. The scripture for today is Matthew 2, 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem was with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" When Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared, then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is a reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is the 12th day after Christmas, otherwise known as Epiphany. Now, Epiphany falls every year on January the 6th, and we have the great fortune of having January 6th fall on a Sunday this year. Epiphany celebrates the Magi's visit to the baby Jesus, which is the first time that God revealed God's self to the Gentiles, aka anyone who is not Jewish, or in other words, all of us. Without Epiphany, we Gentiles may not have ever found Jesus. The Magi from our scripture passage for this morning were astrologers. Their job was to watch the heavens and look for signs of divine movement. The Magi believed that they saw a sign that the King of the Jews had been born in Bethlehem. So they consulted with their boss, a man named King Herod. Now, King Herod was not thrilled of news of another king, because there can only be one king. King Herod was especially not happy when he consulted with his chief priests and scribes, and they confirmed for him that a king of the Jews was to be born in Bethlehem. Now, Herod was a smart man. He told the Magi to go and find the child so that he could worship him. But make no mistake, King Herod had no intention of worshiping Jesus. He wants the Magi to do his dirty work for him. They will find the child so he can kill him. The Magi follow the star to Bethlehem. And when they get there, they ask for directions to the manger. There they find the baby Jesus. They give him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Interestingly, the Magi don't tell King Herod of what they found, because they have this dream that tells them that King Herod can't be trusted. So they decide to return home by following a different route. What I love about the story of the wise men is that they remind us that in Jesus, everyone is invited to know God, even those who don't seek him in conventional ways. This week, in preparation for Epiphany, I cut out about 100 star words. These stars all contain words to reflect on in the new year. Just as the wise men followed the star to the baby Jesus, I wanted us all to have one word to reflect on as we journey through this path of discipleship together. Now, after I had finished cutting out all of the stars, I thought, what the heck? I'll reach my hand in the folder and I'll pick out a star word. As luck would have it, my star word for 2019 is renewal. The first thing I did when I found out that that was my word was I looked it up in the dictionary. Renewal comes from the word renew, and it means to make like new, to restore to freshness, vigor, or perfection, which I interpret to mean doing an old thing in a new way. So the next question I ask myself is, who do I know that is doing some kind of renewal well? And I couldn't help but think of my friend Laura, who you all will get to meet during my installation service. She is pastoring a church plant in Lawrenceville called Sanctuary Faith Community. And they get together once a month on Sunday evenings for what is called a pub talk. Now, these pub talks happen in a bar in Lawrenceville. And once a month, Laura pulls together somebody who is an expert in something. And these experts range from being, we had a spoken word poet come once. Who else have we had? We had a Post-Gazette journalist come. Last month, we had a pediatric surgeon come. And all of these various experts come to talk about how their faith impacts either their work or their lives. I asked Laura why she did these pub talks, because for the most part, people who come to them are not people who come to church or even to her church regularly. My friend Laura said that she was getting really tired of the way that people were interacting with each other when they disagreed about something. You were no longer just allowed to disagree with somebody. If you disagreed with somebody, you had to make fun of their character. It wasn't enough that you disagreed. You had to make that other person look dumb. The other thing is she was witnessing how this uncivil discourse was actually turning people away from the church. See, my friend Laura is one of the only pastors I know whose primary demographic is people from like 22 to 40. So she's working with young people. And she said that she's realized that young people are still seeking Jesus, but that they're doing it in ways that might look a little bit different from the way that their parents or even their grandparents did it. So she wanted to create a space where young people, specifically unchurched young people, could come and ask questions about the intersection of faith and their lives. So last month, we gathered for a discussion on, and I'm not making this up, Harry Potter, genetics, and discrimination. Our speaker was and is an assistant pediatrics professor at the University of Maryland. So we learned the odds of a muggle, which is a non-magic person, which is also a dominant gene, and a witch, which is a magic person and a recessive gene, having a magic child or a child that is also a witch and or a wizard. We also looked at the genetic code of people called mudbloods, who are children who have magic powers, but neither of their parents are magic people. And we compared that genetic code to magic children who were born of magic parents. And what we saw was that the genetic code wasn't really that different at all. So then we had a really fascinating conversation about, is discrimination a product of cultural conditioning or scientific fact? Now, I know the description I just gave you sounds super nerdy, and if you haven't read any of the Harry Potter books, those words I threw out probably don't mean anything. But what I love about these pub talks is that it gives unchurched people an opportunity to ask the same questions that churched folks have been asking for centuries. What is the relationship between faith and science? What does it mean to be a good person? What, if any, difference does my faith make in how I go about my everyday life? The other thing that I love about pub talks is that they take the same four goals of church, which I define as hospitality, or caring for others, community, or sharing your life with others, discernment, making decisions with others, and worship, praising God with others. And they reimagine these traditions for a generation that didn't grow up in the church. Sanctuary provides the space and the refreshments that kind of anchor our gatherings. The core members of the church are really intentional about inviting their friends who are not in church to come to these gatherings, and they really kind of help them learn what they're supposed to do when they're there. It doesn't matter who is speaking, all of the talks center on what is the relationship between our faith and our lives. We always end all of our time together with an optional but communal prayer. As a pastor, these pub talks are the main time that I get to interact with people who don't go to church. And what I love about them is they remind me that it doesn't matter who you are, we all have really similar questions. Who am I? What am I doing here? Is there something bigger than me at work here? Another thing I love about them is they remind me that truth has to hold up in dialogue with somebody else. Otherwise, what you think is truth is just your opinion. My other really favorite thing about these pub talks is people come range in age from 18-year-olds. My friend Laura is also the pastor at Oakmont, and the chair of her mission committee comes, and the very sweet man has to be in his 70s and is clearly the oldest person at the pub talks, and I just love him dearly. But what's really cool about getting people together in all of these different ages is it just reminds me everybody has questions. It doesn't matter how long that you have been a Christian. And the goal of Christianity is not always to have all the right answers, but it's willing to ask questions and really listen to one another. What I love about our scripture passage for today is that the wise men are the weirdest possible characters to show up at this point in the story. They're outsiders in terms of language, culture, education, and belief. They didn't know for sure that this star they saw was definitely going to lead them to Jesus. Yet, They teach all future generations of Christians how to seek Jesus. The first thing they teach us is that we need to study tradition. The Magi didn't just accidentally pick the right star that led them to Jesus. No, they dedicated their lives to separating signs from just regular star constellations. They stood on the shoulders of those who had come before them and used their knowledge to move their discipline forward. They respected King Herod's authority, but they defied him when it was necessary for the sake of the greater good. I don't know if you noticed in the story, but the Magi only got to Jesus because they stopped and they asked for directions. All of their years of study could only put them in the town where Jesus was born. They had to rely on the hospitality of strangers to complete their journey. Had they not stopped and asked for directions, who knows if they would have found Jesus. And finally, the wise men teach us to have the courage to follow the signs. Yes, we need to study and know what these signs can look like. Yes, we need to ask for help. But at a certain point, we just have to follow these signs into the unknown. And when we're following these signs, we're never going to really know for sure if we're doing the right thing or not. We might even get a little bit lost along the way. That's okay. Sometimes it is the point of following the signs is to follow them, not necessarily to do it perfectly. Friends, because of the Magi, we get to know Jesus and therefore know God. And the Magi teach us that there's really no one linear path to following Jesus. And it's okay if somebody follows a different path. But once we find this star, once we experience the light of Christ, we are the ones through whom the light gets to shine forth. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.